Pray for Brother Phil and Sister Rosie also. We had a good talk yesterday about his health. He is going to be going through a couple of procedures that are, she didn't actually quite explain it well to me, but just she's asking for, Sister Rosie had asked the church if you could pray for Brother Philip. Brother Phil, we haven't been in church lately because of his health condition. Also for her anxiety and all kinds of other things that they're going through. Just pray for them, okay? And a couple other church members that are hospitalized today, if there's some that are that you know about that I don't know about, please let me know so we can I can add them on my personal prayer list and our church prayer list every Wednesday. We'll keep them in prayer.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Royal Kingdom of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church hereby summon all prince, princess, knights, commoners, and citizens to attend the Royally Vacation Bible School. It will commence on the 10th day of the month of August in the year of our Lord, 2017. Please take your journey to 1265 Nolan Avenue in Chula Vista at 5 o'clock in the afternoon until 7 o'clock. And on the 11th day of the given time, month, and year, come dressed in your best royal attire for the royal feast. Your presence is requested for a royal fun time.
Thank you, Baroness. If you didn't get the accent, it's about the VBS on August 10 and 11, Vacation Bible School for the Kids from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. That'll be a Thursday and a Friday. That's the announcement.
And on Friday, everyone gets to dress up as if they were a prince, a princess, knight, or a citizen.
There you go. Or a commoner. There you go. Thank you, peasant.
And we do have a business meeting scheduled for July 30th after Sunday school, or after services. So I wanted to mention that as well. So let's everyone stand as Brother Romel comes for the reading of God's Word.
Good morning, dear church. There are many, many good things. I'm very, very thankful that I live in America. But I would say one of the best of them is to be able to be here this morning. And no one is harassing after me. And I could actually read the precious word of God.
Amen.
The book of Psalms, chapter 89, verses 1 through 18. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all of them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is as a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Verse 18, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. The book of Psalms, chapter 89.
Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us today?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would like to share something with you real quick this morning. You know, a few years ago, I turned out of the path that God had put me on and started doing things in my own power. Amen. Walking in my own way. I don't know if it was to the left or to the right. It didn't matter. I wasn't right walking straight. But you know what? God didn't let me get away with that. He put me in a situation that I had no choice but to cry out to him for mercy. That I did. And I'll tell you something. I'm so glad God is not like man. When I cried out for mercy, he didn't point the finger at me. He didn't shake the head. He didn't say, oh, you done did it. I don't deal with you anymore. But with open arms, he smiled, and with a gleam in his eyes, he welcomed me back home. Please. And let me tell you something. Satan got angry at that, and he continued to deal with me in his way. Amen. But praise God, my Savior has got the victory for me. Now listen. Satan said, this time you done it. Johnny, you done gone too far. How could the Lord receive you now when you're ruined and scarred? Over something deep down inside of me said, child, you're still my own, and my love for you is still the same. So shall just come back home. He gave me more than I ever asked for, no more than I ever dreamed, more than I could imagine. Well, I came back home to him. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, make me as one of your servants. But he made me a child of the King. I thought about the years that I wasted as I walked the lone lost way. I rehearsed time and time all the words that I would say. Now when I finally reached my last long hill and my Jesus now I will see. Oh, he's running with his arms open wide in love just to welcome me. He gave me more than I ever asked for, now more than I ever dreamed, more than I could imagine when I came back home to him. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, make me as one of your servants, but he made me a child of the King. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, Lord, just make me as one of your servants, but he made me a child. Oh, yes, he did. Of heaven, he did. Yes, he did. Praise God. That's my Lord. That's the kind of God I serve. Praise God.
Okay, let's turn to number 417 for offertory hymn. At the Cross.
At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Have the men's choir come up for our choir special.
Must not suffer loss from
All right. 1 Samuel chapter 3 now. 1 Samuel chapter, just four verses, and then we'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you would stand to honor the word of God as we read it. First Samuel 3, verses 15 through 18. The Bible says, "And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is it that, what's the thing that the Lord had said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee.' And Samuel told him every whit." As an old English, that means everything. "And hid nothing from him, and he said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good.'" Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is the second time we're looking at this verse. This is part 2 of the first message from last Sunday. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Let me ask, Brother Mac, would you lift up your voice and pray for God to bless this message this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to each and every one of us today. Brother Mac, please. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing to honor the Word of God. The past few Sundays, and look, going back into the previous verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verse 8, we heard about the call of God to the man Samuel. Now in Romans chapter 10, if you would turn there with me, pertaining to this call of God to everyone that preaches His Word. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 14. I will go a little bit slower this time to allow you to catch up to the verses. Romans chapter 10, do you understand that in order for faith to come, there must be a hearing of the Word of God first? Look at Romans chapter 10. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" You see, in order for faith to come, in order for salvation to come, first of all, there must be faith. But in order for faith to come, there must be belief. But in order for belief to come, you must first hear. But before you will hear the word of God, there must be a man called to preach. But a man that is called to preach is one that is sent. A man that is called to preach has to be one that is not hired. You know, Christianity today, oftentimes the ministry has turned into some type of an employment, a job, equal to that of every other profession. But the Word of God says that the calling of the preacher is not an employment. It is a calling. Galatians chapter 1, turn there with me. Galatians chapter 1. Remember the Apostle Paul when listened to his testimony in the past. Galatians chapter 1, here's how the Apostle Paul was called into the ministry. Look at verse 11. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men." Do you realize that you can hire a preacher, but you cannot call a preacher? Verse 12, he says, "For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Second of all, notice he says, "I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it." Amen. Oftentimes, the qualification for hiring a preacher becomes the education of the preacher. But my Bible says, oh, it is not the hiring, it is not even the education of the preacher that makes him called by God into the ministry. "Neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how to beyond measure." He had a testimony. Remember the Apostle Paul? He persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jewish religion above many his equals in his own nation, he says. Look at verse 15. "But when it pleased God," you understand who calls a preacher? It is God, "who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him." Amen. The call of the preacher is not a call. It is not man that chooses the preacher, but God that chooses the preacher. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're visiting with us for the first time, now you'll see what kind of church we are. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Before Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, after he had went down into the lowest parts of the earth to rescue the Old Testament saints, he comes back up to give the church of God some gifts. And you know what those gifts are? Look at verse 11. Verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I tell you, if God gives you a preacher, you did not hire that preacher. God called that preacher. Amen. The call. Samuel received the call from God. And then we learned later on the cry or the message that he had. You remember Samuel's cry unto Eli, you'll find in verse 13 and 14. Remember how Samuel reaches that point after he had received the call from God. He hears what kind of message or what kind of cry it was about. And you remember the cry? Verse 13 says, "I have told him that I will judge his house, the house of Eli, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and restrained them not." In verse 14, we remember that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. So after the call to the preacher comes the cry or the message. Now every man that is called by God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in the modern age has a cry. Has a cry, has a message. Go to 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. Look at this. A preacher, after he is called, he has a cry or a message. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible says, "And Isaiah the prophet did what? Cried unto the Lord." Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4. Go to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4. I don't make you up. I want to put you some into some work, okay? That way you'll learn your Bible. You'll learn where to turn. Amen? Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4. Zechariah 1, 4. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have what? Have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil way and from your evil doings. Every prophet was called to cry. Chapter 7, verse 7 of Zechariah. Excuse me. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. Zechariah 7, 7. Should you not hear the words which the Lord had what? Had cried by the former prophets. You see, after the calling to a man of God, there's the cry that he's called to preach. Someone said that majority of preaching is negative and must be negative first. The majority of God's message to God's people, every time a prophet was called to cry out aloud, was against some kind of sin. So don't be surprised today when you hear preaching, and every preaching and majority of preaching that you hear will first break you down, for that is the nature of preaching. People say, hey, oh pastor, when you preach, you're always preaching hard. I tell you, if I don't preach hard, then I am not preaching. Because the very nature of the Word of God, the very nature of the cry of every prophet is negative. Mankind must first be broken down before Jesus Christ can lift him up. You must first recognize of your sinful nature, of your sin, before you will come to recognize of your need of a Savior. That is why preaching must be negative first and foremost. The cry, the message of Samuel to Eli, do you think it was positive? Look at your verse. What was the message of Samuel to Eli? The message of Samuel to Eli, the cry of Samuel to Eli was negative. He says, you will die, and your sons will die, and every priest that comes after you will die. Look at verse 15 now. So first the call, then the cry, and when we get to our text this morning, I want you to look at the consideration. First the call, then the cry, then in verse 15, there's the consideration. Look at verse 15, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And Samuel lay until the morning. Here's the first thing I want you to learn. Imagine this for a second. The young man Samuel hears that his spiritual father, Eli, was about to die. And God reveals to him what sort of death will come down to Eli and his sons. I want you to picture a young man who received the bad news about a person that he looked up to. That's what's going on here. And Samuel lay until the morning. One thing about the Word of God is this, and it's been proven to me ever since God called me to preach. When you receive a message from God, sometimes it bothers you. Sometimes it burdens you. Here we see Samuel not able to sleep at night, and the Bible says, until the morning. Nevertheless, if you look at that text, it's talking about the fact that he was not only bothered, but he was burdened. And here's the thing about the preaching of the ministry, the call into the ministry, it is a burden. Go to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. If you can't find Habakkuk, go to a book of Matthew and move backwards from book of Matthew. You'll find Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah, and you'll find Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse You know what the Bible says? Habakkuk 1:1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Go to Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. You know what every prophet received from God? Is a burden. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. You know what the Bible says? The burden of the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1. You look at the entire book of Isaiah, you know what you'll find? Burdens after burdens. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1. What does that say? The burden of Babylon. Chapter 15, verse 1. The burden of Moab. Chapter 17, verse 1 of Isaiah. The burden of Damascus. Chapter 19, verse 1 of Isaiah. What does that say? The burden of Egypt. Chapter 21, verse 1. Chapter 22, verse 1. You know what you'll find in every one of those texts? When the word of the Lord comes to the man of God, it is a burden. So when Samuel received that word from God that his spiritual father, Eli, was going to die, I tell you, it was a burden to him. He could not sleep. One of the things that I've come to learn ever since God called me to preach, as I go throughout the entire week of trying to listen to God, trying to study in my devotions, sometimes God speaks, and most of the time God speaks at night. And when God speaks at night, sometimes, and most of the time I would say, you know, I'm not able to sleep. I'm not able to sleep until I pen my message down. Until I begin to type, until I begin to write on my Bible a message. You can ask my wife and my kids. I don't go to bed until about 3:30 on my days off. 4 o'clock, Zeriel said. Samuel could not sleep upon hearing that word of God. And then look at the verse again in verse 15. First of all, he laid until the morning time and was not able to sleep because of that burden. And then he opened the doors of that house. The indication here, the implication here is that after Samuel had received the word of God about Eli, he wakes up, he gets up in the morning and opens the door of the house of the temple. In other words, you know what he did? He proceeds with his day-to-day work. He goes on with his everyday, you know, mundane living. He continued on. He had a job to do. He had a work to do, despite of the fact that there's this message on him, in his mind, and in his heart. Well, he has no choice. He has to continue working. He has to go on day after day. I'm reminded of a story of that woman. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. How many of you remember the woman of Zarephath? Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, when there was a famine in the land, there was a woman with the prophet Elijah. Look at verse 8 to 10. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And you know what this woman was doing while she was waiting for herself and her son to die? You know what she did? She didn't just give up. She knows what's about to happen. You know what she did? She went about with her own business, what she did every day. She went about with her mundane task of every day, which was gathering sticks. She just kept on going. Well, she had the message from God. She knows something bad's about to happen. A man from God was sent to meet her needs. But she had to just continue working and just doing everything in her life, the mundane things. And that's what's going on here with Samuel. He opened the doors of the house, and then look at verse 15 of our text again. And Samuel, he opens up the door of the house of the temple. That's his job. And then the Bible says, Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Why? Now, why would a young man be scared of an older man whom he works for? Why? Well, it's needful, right? But I believe that the true reason why Samuel feared to show the vision to Eli, well, number one, because he knows what the vision was about, right? Second of all, I believe that the reason why Samuel was in fear to show Eli the vision is in Proverbs 23, verse 17. I believe that Samuel was not afraid of Eli. I believe that Samuel was in fear to show Eli the message because of, look at this, Proverbs 23, verse 17. Here's the characteristic of a true servant of God. Proverbs 23, verse 17. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 23, 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou, what does that say? In the fear of the Lord all the day long. I believe that Samuel was not afraid of Eli. He was afraid of the God of Eli. I believe that Samuel served God with all the fear all throughout the day. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, look at this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the characteristic of a true servant of God is that that person walks in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Hebrews 12, 28. Hebrews 12, 28, I believe that Samuel's fear was not a manly fear, but it was a godly fear. Look at Hebrews 12, 28. Second section says, whereby we may serve God acceptably with, what does that say? With reverence and godly fear. A characteristic of a true servant of God who is called, who is crying out for God, is one that fears God. You know, we live in a time when, especially young people today, they say they have no fear. I've seen a shirt that says, no fear. Young people today, they walk around not afraid of anything. Not afraid of people in authority. See young man getting pulled over by a policeman. You know what they do instead of giving them the driver's license? You know, say, who are you? I'm not going to give you my driver's license. You see sons today, the father calls them, son, come over here. Say, I'm not going to listen to you in my house. I'm on the phone. Isn't that the characteristic of mankind today? There is no fear. There is no more fear. I remember a time. How many of you remember a time when If the dad calls you, you better be there. Otherwise, you get a spanking. Amen? There was a time when boys and girls in the house, when a parent calls, they're afraid. When mama calls especially, you better be careful, right? But today, the society no longer fears God. Characteristic of a godly nation, a godly society, is that there is fear. There's the fear of the Lord in there. But Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. We've looked at that calling of the answer of Samuel. Every time he heard the voice, he said, here am I. It didn't even matter if he couldn't recognize if it was the voice of man or the voice of God. Man, the characteristic, the character of this child named Samuel, he was just a very submissive individual. He said, here am I. He answered to him, here am I. You know what Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2 is? Young people, you listen to me today. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. With promise. And so when Samuel hears the voice, you know, I know that Eli was not the father of Samuel, but he might as well be. And needless to say, Samuel treated him like he was his dad. Are you there with me? Look at verse 16. So when Eli called Samuel, look at verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, what? My son. Eli treated Samuel as his own son. And needless to say, without argument, Samuel must have treated Eli as his father. And he answered here, and he answered and said, here am I. And he said, here comes after the consideration, after the debate, the internal debate in the mind of Samuel, then comes the confrontation in verse 17. So first you have the call, then you have the cry, which was a negative message, then the consideration whether or not he was going to tell Eli about the message, and then comes the confrontation in verse 17. The confrontation of verse 17. Eli said, What did God tell you? I pray you, hide it not from me. Eli says, whatever God told you, don't hide it from me. I want to know it. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, of all the things that he said unto thee. You know what Eli's saying here? Samuel, come over here. Now, Samuel, I know that I'm older than you. Samuel, I have more experience in the ministry than you. Samuel, I've been a Christian longer than you. Samuel, you are nobody. But Samuel, I know that God spoke to you about me. And Samuel, I don't want you to hold back anything from me. Samuel, I want you to tell me, hide it not from me. What did God tell you about me? Here's the thing about, one thing I learned about the ministry. Age, or spiritual age or maturity, is not measured by how old you are. Many a Christian today automatically assume that because you've been a Christian for so long, that you are spiritually mature. But needless to say, you know who the most mature people are? Oftentimes it's not the eldest. Sometimes, and most of the time, it is the younger Christian. When it comes to practical matters in the Christian life, go to Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. If you don't believe that that is a concept that is biblical, go to Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. You know, the problem with society today, with a growing society today, is they look at the man's age and say, well, you're too young. What could you know? What could you tell me about this life? Why would I listen to you? Look at Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And what does the Bible say? And the elder shall serve the younger. We'll go to Romans chapter 9, verse 12. You say, well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Really? Go to Romans chapter 9, verse 12. Romans chapter 9, verse 12. Referring to that same old text in Genesis 25, look at verse 11, Romans 9, 11 and 12. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It's a comparison between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That the Old Testament is that old brother and the New Testament is that new brother. And notice that the Bible says in verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Amen? Go to Luke 22, verse 26. Luke chapter 22, verse 26. Luke chapter 22, verse 26. You know why God operates like that? Because His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 26 and 27. He says, "But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat?" But notice what he says about himself. "But I am among you as he that serveth." You see, in the ministry of God, in God's world, it does not matter. Your age does not matter. Your spirituality is not measured by your chronological age, if I may. Oftentimes, God uses the younger individual to bring upon His word. And that's what happened here in 1 Samuel. Eli, who was trained in the ministry, who was experienced in the ministry, who was a veteran in the ministry, God brings a mockery to his life in verse 17. And God uses a young man to confront him of his sin. Go to verse 18 now as we close. So first there was the call to Eli. Then there was the cry. There was the consideration of Eli, of Samuel. And then there was the confrontation between the two of them. But notice to end in verse 18, the characters in these two individuals. The characters, look at verse 18. "And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him." Samuel told him everything and kept nothing from him. Here's one thing I told you about my manner of preaching and my content of preaching. Much of preaching today are like a pick and choose type of preaching. A lot of preachers today, they treat the Bible as if it's like a buffet. And when you go to a buffet, you only go to that one place on the food that you like. And you avoid the whole section of everything else. But I tell you, majority of preaching today is focused on the things that are palatable. The grace of God, the love of God, forgiveness and mercy and all those things. But the calling to the man of God who is truly called by God, the Bible says it is the entire counsel of God. And I can tell you this, the entire counsel of God is not always nice. It's not always palatable. You cannot pick and choose. Pastor, preach to me about grace. Yes, we will. Sometimes if we're on that text. But in order for me to be true to the Word of God, when we go through texts like this that are difficult, guess what? You got to eat it anyway. You got to eat it anyway. You got to eat your veggies. You got to take your vitamins. You got to take your bitter pill. And that is the Word of God. Look at the character of verse 18. Look at the character of Samuel and Eli. And he said, look at what Eli said to this younger brethren. After hearing everything about what God was about to do to him, you know what Eli said? "It is the Lord." Now, Eli could have said to Samuel, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm older than you. You're only 10 years old. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the Bible. I'm older than you. I've been saved for a lot longer than you have. You can't tell me that. I'm older than you. That's not what he said. You know what he said? He said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. If there is one message we can get from this text, it is this. When God speaks, we must quiet ourselves under God's rebuke and never, ever strive with our Maker. Don't ever argue with God. Sometimes I preach messages and I have no idea what that means, and I have no idea how God speaks to you through that message. But guess what? Nevertheless, the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I would go through a message and I have no idea how that pertains to our church. But I preach it anyway. Because sometimes I don't know how God is speaking to you. But the right attitude towards preaching is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here's where we'll close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's the character of Eli. When that young man confronted him about his sin, here's the character of Eli, and here is the character of everyone that hears and listens to the preaching of the Word of God today. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You see, I'm learning. I've only been pastoring for a little bit over a year. I've been preaching for a year and a half now. But here's one thing I'm learning. This will be a confession, okay? This will be a confession. There are times when I look for a message that in my mind will encourage and lift up the crowd, will challenge and will be so overwhelming, will be so mind-boggling, will be so, you know, a message that will stick to your heart and you will never forget. There are a lot of months, a lot of Sundays that I think like that. I'm always looking for a message. What is that message that I can preach that will stand out, that will be like so, that will cause the congregation to leave this place and say, "Pastor, that was a great message. Pastor, wow, I've never heard of that before." I'll be honest with you, I this is a confession. Sometimes I'm driven by looking for a message that will cause you to leave this place with that feeling of, "Wow, that was the Word of God." But then you know one thing I realize? Sometimes that's not how God wants to speak to the congregation. Sometimes God's message is not so amazing. Sometimes God's message is not so palatable. Sometimes God's message is not so overwhelmingly intellectual and so wow. But you listen to it anyway. And I have to preach it anyway. And it becomes a burden to me. But the right attitude, I tell you, Christian, today, is receive it anyway, as if it is the very words of God. Receive it anyway as if it's the very words of God. Some messages are, sometimes in my mind is, sometimes I'm thinking, maybe it's me because I haven't slept. Maybe because it's me that I haven't read enough. Maybe because it's me that I haven't organized my outline enough. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. But then I realize, no, it's not even me. Preaching is more than a delivery. It's more than an outline. It is something divine. The message is greater than the messenger. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would stand to your feet as the piano plays. I have no idea how God speaks to men. But I'm going to faithfully dissect his word verse by verse and just allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. But if you're not saved today, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the altar is open as the piano plays. Maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor, I came to church, but I didn't understand your message. Sometimes the message is not for you. Amen? Sometimes the message is not for you right now. It could be for you tomorrow. You realize that? Or maybe the message has been preached right, but there was something else in you that's not able to take it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I have no idea how God spoke to you today. But if God has spoken to you today in any way, maybe God is calling you to preach. Maybe you're facing a confrontation. Maybe you lack character. I don't know what it is. The altar is open.